from KQED.
Hey everyone, I'm Emmanuel.
I'm Kali.
And I'm Jamidra.
And we're the hosts of
The Cooler.
Boys will be boys. We've all heard that saying before, right?
Unfortunately.
But have you ever stopped to ask yourself, who gets to be a boy? This week, we will.
And we all know a little bit of knowledge in someone's hands can be a dangerous thing. But what happens when that someone is Lindsay Lohan?
And I'll be offering up a song that we can all blast to drown out that loud sound you hear of raging entitled men.
You must have heard my prayers last night.
I'm answering them.
So by now, we're all deeply entrenched in the aftermath of Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh's testimony. As we know, he appeared before a committee last week to defend himself against allegations of sexual assault. Many of Kavanaugh's defenders have relied on a classic excuse.
Tried and true.
Tried and true.
Which one?
Boys will be boys.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, they pulled that from the grab bag of horrors.
Yeah, you know, Kavanaugh was just engaging in classic teenage behavior.
Classic teenage rough and tumble, right?
Exactly. I mean, just a glimpse into a bit of an interview that CNN's Randy Kaye conducted last week with Florida Republicans, women, may I add, will tell you how some people are excusing Brett Kavanaugh's behavior.
I mean, we're talking about a 15-year-old girl, which I respect. You know, I'm a woman. I respect. And we're talking about a 17-year-old boy in high school with testosterone running high. Tell me what boy hasn't done this in high school. Please, I would like to know.
Me.
Yeah, what boy?
Wow.
What boy hasn't done this in high school? I mean, this is something, you know, prom, sexual assault. It all just goes together,
apparently,
right?
Apparently, it just happens. I'm just going to say, if that's normal for you and the people you know, you have serious problems.
So Brett Kavanaugh's defenders are saying, well, he was 17 years old. You know, he was in high school. He was just drinking a little bit. Why should that mistake follow him for the rest of his life? But then you think about other teenagers, like, for example, Trayvon Martin or Mike Brown, and how their interactions were perceived by the media and how those quote-unquote mistakes not only followed them for the rest of their lives, but actually ended their lives.
And also talking about the, quote, mistakes that they made, the hunt for figuring out who should be held accountable is always looking into their past, finding an image on their Facebook that makes them look bad, and trying to find an excuse and a mistake. But with people like Trayvon Martin, Tamir Rice, Emmett Till, hello.
Hello.
You know, there is no mistake there. And they're still treated more severely than someone like Brett Kavanaugh.
Tamir Rice was 12 years old. He was playing with a toy gun and he was killed by a police officer. When you think about the media coverage, when you think about all of the things that were said about him, he was seen in that particular instance as more in control and as more of an adult and more responsible for the actions that took place than the adult who was supposed to be trained to deal with dangerous situations. But we saw him, or the media saw him, as an adult in that instance. And then when you think about other situations throughout history, when I think about the Central Park Five, those were teenage boys who were between the ages of 14 and 16.
And Trump wanted them executed, and they were innocent.
Oh, yeah, young enough to face the death penalty, according to the man who's currently our president.
I mean, he took out a full-page ad. You had the mayor at the time, Ed Koch, calling them monsters. Teenage boys, monsters, who were later exonerated after they served their full term. One of them, in fact, changed his name just so he wouldn't have to walk around and carry that burden with him.
Wow.
That's understandable. Just going back to Tamir Rice, do you know what the officer said when he called into his dispatch after shooting Tamir Rice? I looked this up and it's horrible. I'm sorry, I'm going to read it. Shots fired, male down, black male, maybe 20.
Whoa.
20. A
maybe
full
20.
8 years off. How many 12-year-olds had that guy seen, just out of interest?
Well, that one apparently was 20 that day.
I mean, but you know there's actually these scientific studies that prove that people perceive black boys as older than they are. It's proven. And people consistently perceive black men to be bigger and more muscly than they are and as more of a threat. Like, this is actually documented. It is wild.
Yeah, and for centuries, there's been this racist narrative of any black body is considered to be a weapon, whether they're 12 or 20 or what have you. So they are treated like that by law enforcement. We've been seeing this. But then a white body like Brett's gets the benefit of the doubt and gets the luxury of being a boy, even after he grows up. If you think about Trump and the tape about grabbing women by the you-know-what, It's just locker room talk. He's a grown man saying that, but it's still like, oh, it's just boyish behavior.
There's some really interesting takes out there right now about how Christine Blasey Ford is a class traitor. That's one of the reasons that she is so hated.
I'm sorry, excuse me?
That she has come out and betrayed essentially the ruling class, which she was a member of as a young girl. She was part of a set that was pretty elite in that area, and they all socialized together. And there's this hypothesis that that's one of the key reasons that she is so loath for what she's saying, not just because of what she's saying and what she's accusing Kavanaugh of, but of the fact that she is somehow peeling back this layer and exposing the world of rich white people as not a very nice place to be, where things can take place that you would think that more down market kind of people did, that unclassy people did. This doesn't happen in nice, rich, white neighborhoods, but it did, it does, and it is still happening right now.
So she broke ranks and basically they're vilifying her for it.
Absolutely.
And there's this obsession of the golden boy. If someone like Dr. Ford comes forward with some truth that tarnishes the idea of this golden boy, the rage isn't directed towards him for allegedly doing this thing, but towards her for standing in the way of something they think he's entitled to, which is a seat at the Supreme Court for a lifetime. She's getting in the way of his prospects. That is the crime, not what happened to her. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
And it's hard, you know, this is a pop culture podcast, but it's hard to talk about other things this week and last week because this is just showing all of the darkest parts of our society and how far misogyny goes. We think we've made strides in feminism in the past couple of years, but if Hillary Clinton sat at the same seat, you know, with her Benghazi hearing, she was there for 11 hours. If she was that smug and combative and yelled about loving beer and cried like that, her career would be over.
She would be perceived as unstable if she cried in public. First of all, let's just point out.
I mean, the word is hysterical. It literally means of the womb, right?
Oh.
It's a word we love to throw at women. It's a great one. And even the phrase all American, I hate to kind of keep zoning in on language and like trying to unpack that, but I think it's so important. When we say like all American girl, what's the image that jumps into your head? I think we all know what it is.
Yeah.
I was going to say Beyonce.
I wish it was Beyonce. I wish we can get to a point at which Beyonce is what leaps into our head.
Most people are probably thinking of Katie Holmes.
Pretty much. Or
anyone named Katie.
A wispy, young, white, blonde woman. That is what jumps into my head.
I think it's really important for us to remember why we even know who Brett Kavanaugh is. The fact that he is trying to become a Supreme Court judge.
It's a job interview.
It's a job interview. We're talking about a lifetime appointment, and we're talking about a man who will be responsible for putting laws in place or upholding laws that will impact people's lives. And then at the same time, he's asking us not to judge him and not to look at his past.
It's like you are literally a judge. It literally says judge before your name.
It's literally what you're applying to do. There are case studies about Mike Brown and Trayvon Martin in particular, about how the media covered them, about how they made them to be more, quote unquote, menacing or thugs or adults. They did everything that they could to peel back their school records, to go through their social media accounts and do what they could to vilify them and then draw a line to why they deserved to meet the end that they did. But meanwhile, we're not supposed to look back at Brett Kavanaugh's past and look back at his history and form an opinion about who he is today based on that.
There was a lot about how Trayvon and Mike Brown were treated in the media that reminds me of how women who were raped get treated. Why was she out there? What was she doing out so late? How did she act? What was she wearing? I mean, it's a short skirt versus a hoodie, right?
Wow.
That's it. You're asking for it one way or another.
Why didn't she have better defense mechanisms? If she was drunk, then, you know, you get what you get. You got raped. But if he's drunk and doing the raping, he was drunk, guys. He was a boy. There's always this double standard, and it's disgusting. I'm disgusted.
When you talk about the intersection of race and misogyny, like, I cannot leave today without saying the name Nia Wilson. First of all, Nia Wilson was 18 years old. Media coverage did what they could to find anything they could unfavorable in her social media accounts to sort of, like, draw a conclusion to why would this man have attacked her. There had to be a reason. Maybe they got into some kind of altercation. What was she doing out so late? You know, instead of looking at her as a person and then even looking at her as a teenager, which she was, they attributed all these things to her and they looked at her as an adult.
Well, look at the photo they found from her social media of her posing provocatively with a weapon, I think.
And it brings to mind the man who was shot and killed in his own home when a cop came and thought it was her home. And then all the headlines were, they found a little bit of weed in his house. I don't care. It was his house and she came in and killed him. I don't care if he smoked a little. In some states, that's legal. It's not legal to barge in and shoot someone.
It seems to me that depending on what your class is, depending on what your race is, it seems that you are more responsible for your own actions at a young age than you are if you come from a more privileged background. So, like, at what age do we consider a person to be an adult or responsible for their own actions?
Well, according to Aristotle...
Wonder when a famous Greek was going to wander into the studio.
So apparently his idea of adulthood and when you make it there, he had this idea of cycles of 7-year increments in your life. And after 3 of those cycles, you are an adult. So that's 21. And then that carried over. Also in the Middle Ages, they thought 21 was a good age because that's the kind of size of body you need to hold armor on your body.
Got it.
So very arbitrary, both of those things. And they've somehow carried on into now. And, you know, you can vote and fight in a war at 18, but you can't drink until 21. You can't rent a car until 25.
That has always struck me as nuts.
It's so bizarre.
And also varying ages of consent around the world.
Oh, yeah.
Those are terrifying. I would like to offer up an example of how deep this goes and how sacred, even in the minds of the most like switched on, smart, compassionate people, this kind of idolization of white male youth can be. I was speaking to one of the smartest women I know, telling her about something I'd seen online that said the Brock Turners of the world grow up to be Brett Kavanaughs, who then make the laws for the Brock Turners.
Yeah.
And this person said, oh, God, yeah, Brock Turner, the Stanford swimmer, right?
He's
the Stanford swimmer.
Interesting that he's a swimmer, right?
That's how everyone remembers him. Not as a guy who sexually assaulted a woman behind a dumpster when she was unconscious, but as a guy with so much promise ahead of him and a swimming career cut short. Come on, it's swimming. It's just water.
So at the end of the day, I think we all just need to think a little bit more critically about who we consider an adult. And then we also need to make sure that we apply those standards equally. If Brett Kavanaugh is in a position to be a judge on the highest court of the land, I think we should be allowed an opportunity to judge him, even if we're talking about something he did in his teenage years.
So Brett, you dish out a lot of judgment in your professional life, and now you know what it feels like to receive that. So receive.
Okay, we overuse the term viral these days. I think we can agree. But if any video summed up the feeling of watching something that was A, simultaneously seen by millions, and B, left you feeling nauseous, then truly this self-filmed footage of Lindsay Lohan, have you seen it? Chasing down a family in Moscow and accusing them of people trafficking? That is it. That is viral.
Yeah.
I'm cringing, like, even before you said it. It's a full body experience.
Honestly, it's actually hard to get the words out. So for those of you who have been blessed by not seeing this footage, let me just paint the picture and take you through it. It starts with Lindsay Lohan firing up an Instagram live stream on the street, apparently in Moscow, probably in Moscow. There's still some online debate about that. And saying that she wants to introduce us to a Syrian refugee family. She wants us to meet them on the live stream and she wants them to tell America their story. And it kind of starts okay, a little bit weird, like the family are kind of smiling patiently as they're sitting there with blankets on them. And it sounds like this.
What do you need? One. Do you want me to give you a hotel? So, I want you to tell America what you need, and I will get it for you.
I mean...
Already, right? Okay, so what you're hearing is Lindsay Lohan speaking what she appears to believe is Arabic. Kind of just sounds like her saying mashallah, and then a kind of guttural sound. a lot.
And even her English has an accent, like, which she doesn't have.
Heavily accented is understating it, if you haven't seen this video.
I was confused. I was thoroughly confused by the accent.
So after many minutes of her, like, on the verge of harassing them to come away with her, she tries to, like, take the kid's hand and says, come and stay with me in a hotel for one night. By the way, if you go up to randoms on the street and ask them to come and spend the night with you in a hotel, that doesn't normally go well. So they don't do it. And then she decides that they're trafficking children.
Look what's happening. They're trafficking children. Inshallah. I won't leave until I take you. Now I know who you are. Don't f*** with me.
I just don't get that leap. Like, what happened in that moment in which she felt like, oh yeah, they're trafficking?
She also went on to say, don't F with Pakistan.
Pakistan. She said, is the kid from Pakistan? There are two kids in the video, by the way. Is he from Pakistan? Don't F with Pakistan.
Oh,
and then when she tries to grab one of the kid's hands again, this is the sound of Lindsay Lohan getting punched in the face.
Give me your hand.
Well, listen, I don't care who you are and where you're from. Mama Bear don't play.
Oh, she does not. And, okay, like, there are several things I really want to be clear about with this video. Okay, this is not an example of compassion and care. I think a lot of people might say, oh, she just really cares and she expressed it in the wrong way. No, you do not fire up a live stream to do that. If Lindsay Lohan really wanted to help these people, there were other ways that did not involve shoving a camera in their face and then chasing them down the street
while calling them child traffickers.
Yeah. I don't know what her angle.
If you do that, you're going to get your fake accent knocked out of your mouth, literally.
Don't F with me, don't F with Pakistan. Oh, put that on a mug. I know it's really tempting to see this as like another crazy Lindsay Lohan acts crazy video. I know there's like this cottage industry now of like another video where someone is acting erratic. Fancy that. I know other people will look at this and say, oh, are we watching some kind of public meltdown here? Like, should we be watching this? Are we watching 2007 Britney? I actually took something else from this video. And I want to talk to you about it. She may be a couple of Lohans short, but she thinks she's right. She genuinely believes what she's saying. You know when you can hear that in someone's voice?
Mm-hmm.
And it is terrifying. She has seen this family that look a certain way on the street, for whatever reason decided that they conform to her idea because they won't accept her help, of what people traffickers look and act like. And I hate to spoil this for you, but like deciding what people are from how they look is kind of
not great.
Right now. Like, this is actually like a really dumb political statement that she's making here, albeit on Instagram Live. Has anything good ever happened?
No, I don't think so.
No. Anyone not wanting to receive her white saviorism must be a child trafficker.
Oh, clearly.
So much white saviorism here.
That's like, math.
This is a really dangerous thing, right? And this is what I want your opinion on. It seems to me that what she's doing on this is based on just enough knowledge of something, like a little bit of knowledge. Like, she thinks she knows about Syria and she thinks she knows about a political situation and she thinks she knows about people trafficking. And she's taking those little bits of knowledge that don't seem to quite add up or be correct and doing something that's really, really dangerous. Like, she fancies herself as this woman of the world now. Like, do you remember when she like adopted the veil? She took on this bizarre, like, pseudo-Turkish accent.
Right, I remember that.
And didn't she say that she converted to Islam at one point?
Right.
But the things that she believes and says about the world are never quite correct. And that's really dangerous when you have a platform. It's bad enough when you're just some person in the office or on the street, but she fires up Instagram Live and a lot of people watch. They also comment saying, what the hell is going on, by the way?
And have you noticed that her commitment to Islam and helping refugees kind of goes out the window when it's summer and she's in Mykonos? Mm. So she takes the season off.
Oh, she does.
But now that it's becoming fall and winter, she's back on the grind.
Hey, you can't worship all year, you know?
Right. She needs a break, too.
She's got stuff to do in Mykonos, like dancing and owning a club.
Yeah, right.
A lot of this reminds me, I hate to make this comparison, I hate to compare anyone to Justin Bieber, but you see this like stunted, arrested development often in people who gain this level of like unfettered fame and wealth really young, like Lindsay Lohan did. And like their politics often are arrested too, like they're really stunted. She sounds like a 19-year-old that's read a book on world politics, but has only read like every other page. and is like spitting it all back out at a family dinner.
And got through the first level of Duolingo Arabic.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
She's using that knowledge.
Right.
Yeah.
We have an election coming up.
Oh,
it's quite a big one. We have seen what happens when people get a platform, a big platform, and they weaponize it to spread just enough of the stuff that feels true, truthy,
mm-hmm.
to do real harm. Like, she is not the only one that's done this. Like, there are tons.
Oh,
hello, Kanye.
Me. I know. There are tons.
You know.
We already know about Kanye. Kanye this weekend tweeted after his SNL appearance.
He was wearing a Make America Great Again hat.
He was wearing the hat. But he said something to the effect of the 13th Amendment needs to be abolished.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if people know what that is,
yeah.
But the 13th Amendment actually abolished slavery. Is he advocating for us bringing slavery back?
He called that the slavery. He says the 13th Amendment is the slavery.
Okay.
He also said there were only 800 slaves in the 1800s. According to The Root, for people who like facts, there were actually 3.9 million slaves in 1860, the year before the Civil War began. So he is spreading this misinformation. And it seems like, oh, there goes Kanye doing his Kanye thing. And it doesn't seem like it's of much consequence to a lot of people. He gets the stage at SNL to give a rant about Trump and
apologize.
It was
going to be Ariana Grande.
But that
is going to be the musical guest.
Let's just point out the fact that he's already ranted once and apologized. Slavery being a choice. Remember that?
Right.
That we just got over that. And now he's back again.
Why do we keep letting him back? I mean, I have him blocked. You know this.
I didn't know that. I love that, though.
But he still creeps in. People text me and they're like, did you hear what Kanye said?
Someone texted me today and I said, I really don't want to know.
No.
Another person who came to mind, we were thinking about celebrities who spread misinformation, is B.O.B. How long
B.O.B.
is he going to try to convince us?
Can we high five very
Thank
loudly?
You.
That was the smallest, weakest,
Let's
softest
try that again.
High five.
One more time.
Watch the elbow. Well, hey, there you
it
go.
Is.
How long is B.O.B. going to try to convince us that the earth is flat?
He still thinks that, right?
Him and Kyrie Irving.
Oh.
B.O.B. is really going to task for this. He's trying to raise money to prove with science that the earth is flat. Science already disproved that. But when we're saying science isn't real, history isn't real, then we get to the Holocaust didn't happen. But,
this is the thing.
Ugh, scary times.
One quick question. Would B.O.B. say that he has fans around the world? All from side to side. Just a quick question. But I'm so glad you bring that up because it is so easy to write this off as dumb person is dumb. Here's a shocker. And I got thinking about, weirdly, don't laugh, Ashton Kutcher. Do you remember when Ashton Kutcher was tweeting in support of Joe Paterno and was saying, how can you fire Joe Paterno? This is outrageous. Like, as a Hawkeyes fan, like, I think it's ludicrous. And then he said, like, oh, I kind of didn't know that Joe Paterno was revealed to have abused children. Like, this is not good. And, okay, so dumb ignorance. Ignorance is dumb. But the real danger comes when a superstar fancies themselves as very knowledgeable about something that they are not. And I hate to bring up Brad Pitt, but I'm going to bring up
Brad Pitt.
You may be aware that he fancies himself as something of a designer and architectural intellectual.
Oh.
After Hurricane Katrina, Brad Pitt starts this foundation called Make It Right. And that they want to design and build these energy efficient, affordable homes in the lower Ninth Ward of New Orleans, which was the area hit hardest by the storm. Trouble is, NBC News reports that as of 2016, Make It Right spent $26.8 million building 109 homes. Sounds good, right? But the foundation is now being sued by the very people who the homes were meant to benefit because they say the homes are literally falling apart around their ears because they were built with substandard materials and they are now stuck with the mortgages on houses that are worth diddly squat. It turns out building homes is really hard and you probably shouldn't put Brad Pitt in charge of it.
Okay, so back it up. I didn't realize that these people had to pay for the homes. I thought the homes were gifted to them because it was in the
they're paying the mortgages, and now that the value of the houses is so diminished.
Oh, come on, Brad.
I'm going to take us from Brad to Tom Cruise. I'm sorry to say it. You know how I feel about Tom Cruise and his movies.
The last one was good.
The last one was really good. But like him talking about these like evils of psychiatry to Matt Lauer, do you remember that? How many impressionable people saw that and then got dissuaded from seeking help that they needed?
And hello, Jenny McCarthy and the whole vaccine thing.
Guys, there were 18 cases of measles in California as of August. Thanks, Department of Public Health, for that statistic. This is a disease that we are not meant to suffer anymore. Will someone tell Jenny McCarthy that?
Since you brought up Brad, you know I got to talk about Gwyneth Paltrow,
you know,
and all of her advice around, let's just say, shall we say, vagina care?
Yep. I was going to say feminine health. I prefer vagina care. It's like Obamacare.
Yeah, pretty much.
I think they're called cooch crystals.
Yes, pretty much.
Yeah. I think they're called jade eggs. Thank
there we
you.
Go.
Can we please refer to the trademark
jade
name?
Jade eggs.
Like, there's a reason that people gain professional qualifications or that they have years of experience in doing these things. And it turns out that even if you're a film star accustomed to getting what you want and accustomed to having people listen to you, you can't just waltz in and do what you want with your little bit of knowledge.
Mm. And you can't waltz away with children that aren't yours to
you
your hotel
can't.
Room.
Exactly.
But do not F with Pakistan.
Ever.
So all of this is showing like how alluring a cause is to a person with a lot of money, maybe a lot of time on their hands, and perhaps something to prove, and maybe even not a lot of sense in those beautiful heads of theirs. And whether or not you listen is up to you.
It's the big and the pig.
Hey, the big and the pig. Hey.
Y'all, this week has been a doozy, just like the last one.
Yes.
What was the worst part, you ask?
Hmm.
Let's let Liza Minnelli answer.
Being alive.
I'm with you, Liza.
Oh, God.
I'm with you, Liza.
I love her.
She read our minds. It's hard to be alive right now. So all that to say, I have a number of pits to hand out today.
Are you even going to do a peek this week?
I will, because I'm trying to be an optimist in life, but there's a lot of pessimistic shiz going on.
Mm.
The first pit goes to a former drummer for Beyonce. They worked together for a number of years. Her name's Kimberly Thompson. She is now suing Beyonce. She wants a restraining order because, according to her, Beyonce practices, quote, extreme witchcraft, dark magic, and uses magic spells of sexual molestation.
Ooh.
Kimberly also says Beyonce probably killed her cat.
Wait, hang on. Beyonce's cat or Kimberly's cat?
Kimberly's cat.
What?
Homegirl killed my cat.
How did she get near the cat? And I don't want to take us off on a
witchcraft
tangent.
Witchcraft
but...
and dark magic.
Now all I'm thinking about is that Let's Go, Little Kitty Cat song by Beyonce.
Yeah, what does that mean?
What does that really
mean? Kimberly was right. Mm.
And just to clarify, is this the only person ever that wants a restraining order from Beyonce? Everyone else wants to bring Beyonce closer to them.
Yes.
And that's because she put a spell on everyone, like you and me at the concert this weekend.
Which was amazing.
Santa Clara. It was
great. The power of witchcraft.
And if you were at that concert or just have seen Beyonce on TV in the past 20 years, you know it's true. She is a witch. Because that hair is never in her face. It moves as if on its own.
Oh, it's incroyable.
She does punishing choreo without ever running out of breath while singing at the same time.
Witch.
But, Kimberly, we love it. Sorry.
Yeah.
So, juror number 8, remember I was on a jury.
Rules
in favor of the defendant, case dismissed. Pit of the week to Kimberly.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You are not going to take down
no
Beyonce.
Objection.
She is one of the few we still have that is unproblematic, and witches are cool. Next pit goes out to SNL.
Oh,
yes. We don't have to get into the whole Kanye thing. They gave him a platform, A. B, they also gave a platform to Mr. Ariana Grande, Pete Davidson, who made a joke about swapping out her birth control with Tic Tacs.
Because yeah, that was gross.
Controlling a woman's body
and
taking
what?
Away her agency is hilarious, you guys. And also they put Mr. Me Too Has Gone Too Far, Matt Damon, to play Brett Kavanaugh, and we're supposed to think he's funny and that everything's forgiven. Tis not. SNL, you're not even funny. Pit of the week to you. And a new report came out that Russia not only meddled in our election, but they also meddled in the online reception of Star Wars The Last Jedi.
What?
Out.
Let me explain. So word is that half of the negative comments about this movie were from bots, and that their objective was, according to The Guardian, quote, increase media coverage of the fandom conflict, thereby adding to and furthering a narrative of widespread discord and dysfunction in American society.
Through Star Wars?
Yeah.
I mean, however you can get through.
Limits. I mean, I hate to say it, but Russia really have America nailed. Like, they know how to sow division.
But also, we are doing a lot of the sowing of the division ourselves. Mm. We don't need any help, Russia. So take a break. You've done a lot. You get a gold star. I know you like stars and sickles and things.
Mm.
Then it got me thinking, what if they've been doing this for longer than we think? What if they are the reason why we pitted Britney versus Christina?
What about the blue and the gold dress?
Russia.
That was them all along.
Russia, just chill out.
Yeah, and yet.
And a final pit goes to Dennis Dickey. He had one of these gender reveal parties, and he thought, how can I unveil the sex of my child? It is to shoot at a target filled with an explosive, which then will lead to a 47,000-acre wildfire in Arizona, which cost $8.2 million to fight and put out. Oh, and now, this week, it is being said that he now has to pay $200,000 for being an idiot.
Oh, my God.
I think it should be more.
Real question. What was the gender?
Yeah, did that gender get revealed? Since it was so important.
Gender is a construct, so it doesn't matter. And now to our peak of the week, which goes to the white Michelle Williams.
Thanks for clarifying.
White.
She's on a press tour for Venom, which is a movie Carly and I know a lot about because we stalked, famously, Tom Hardy's pillowy lips in North Beach when they were filming here a few months
ago. In a previous episode. We actually broke onto the set.
We did. We saw a motorcycle stunt. It was great.
Didn't feel like breaking in at the time.
But it was illegal, nonetheless. So she's on this press tour, and they asked her, you know, you are a serious actress. You've been nominated for a bunch of Oscars. You do, like, small indie things. Why Venom? Why this action franchise? And she said, money.
Girl, come through with the honesty, Michelle.
Get your money. Get paid.
We love an honest queen.
Mm-hmm. We do. We stand one.
She's keeping it all the way real.
All the way.
And she's saying, I'm going to use the money I get from franchises to fund important work that isn't being funded in Hollywood.
She knows.
Hello.
Trojan horse.
Also, she saw the character in Venom and is like, this needs to reflect the time we're in. It can't just be a damsel in distress. And so she actually had them add a line that she wrote, which was, I love you, but I love me more.
Come on.
Which is also a line from Sex and the City, Samantha. Just saying.
Oh, God, it is.
Yeah, she was like, I came up with the line. And I'm like, actually, Samantha Jones did. But, you know, I love you.
Smells like plagiarism.
Yeah. And she also said that she wanted her character in suits instead of just, like, cute little skirts. Yeah. And if there was going to be a skirt, she wanted suspenders. And, you know, she was thinking about all of these things and wanting to get to the point of women grappling with questions of, quote, how do I become easier on myself? How do I love myself more? How do I accept myself more? How do I ask for that from the world and from men? So she's bringing this to this franchise that we don't expect much from. I will say I do expect a lot out of Michelle Williams, and she's never let me down.
She hasn't. This is important and all, but if she had used her power for good instead of evil, she would have ensured that Tom Hardy's face was not once more covered during this film.
Right.
If you're talking about wielding power.
Come through next time.
Yeah. Bro. Yeah. Do us a solid.
But this is a peak, not a pit.
I'll find the negative in anything. You know me.
And finally, on to our song of the week. As is clear from this episode, the last few weeks, also the last few millennia, if we're keeping count, men have been acting a damn fool.
Oh, tell me about it.
I thought you'd never say it.
So I've been in need of some queer music to blast to drown out the sound of all the entitlement and all the rage coming from over there. And I found it in the form of a song called Immaterial by an artist that goes by the moniker Sophie, all in caps, because she's extra. The song, it is like if you took a helium balloon and then set it on fire.
Ooh.
Or if you ate a pack of sour straws that were laced with acid. That's how it makes you feel. It makes me feel hyper. It makes me feel challenged.
Oh.
Okay.
It is a surreal, sometimes off-putting, kind of scary, but new kind of pop song. She basically takes the form of a pop song and then takes a chainsaw and is like, I'm going to F this up and make it my own. You're going to like it. It's going to be like an ice sculpture at a wedding.
You are quite the hype man.
Radio is all paint by numbers, very easy to listen to.
Repetitive.
Yeah. There's nothing risky about any of that. This is risky. This is from the future. I want to be in the future where everyone has civil rights. So I listen to Sophie and I blast it and I can't hear Brett Kavanaugh crying anymore. And that's what's important.
Okay.
So without further ado, take it away, Sophie. Listeners, you love us, right? Please say you do. On iTunes, with a 5-star rating and a review.
We read every single one.
Thanks to Carolyn Pennypacker Riggs and David Marcus.
And also thanks to Emmanuel for all the hard work he does behind the scenes, and Ashley Ann Craigbaum.
Hey! If you miss us in the next week, you can find us on social media. I'm at Excuse My Beauty.
I'm at Teacup in the Bay on all relevant platforms.
And you can find me at Jamidra Says.
Bye.